one's Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
It's Zorn.
It is Zorn. It's Eric Zorn, our friend from the Chicago Tribune. And Eric, I already told Wendy this, and I told the listeners, and now I'm telling you, I have some sad news that's going to just depress you.
I don't know what it is.
I am sitting down, so.
Are you ready? Yeah, now, you know me. I'm not the guy who likes to bring bad news.
You're Mr. Sunshine.
I'm Mr. Sunshine. I'm like vitamin E, Wendy.
That's D. Vitamin D.
D is the sun.
No, I'm like vitamin E.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Vitamin E, isn't that for like male enhancement
or
something like that?
That's okay. That's what I am.
It's, no.
It's not?
This conversation is really rocking along here.
It's like Bill on steroids.
The television show, Son of Zorn, has been canceled. No more Son of Zorn. Done.
We should have bought that action figure for him.
I know.
It's going to go up
skyrocket
in price.
Now.
Well, you know, I'm a mixed mind about that.
I think you'd be happy.
I'm a little happy because I remember, you know, like, what about some guy whose name was Homer Simpson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it, 30 years ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago, and he sees a little show coming out. Oh, there's a guy, there's a character with your name. And he's like, oh, that's funny. And then, like, 5 years later, the guy, everybody he meets says, oh, Homer Simpson, duh.
Right. You can't escape it.
Or Bart Simpson.
At least he gets more attention.
You can't escape it.
Have you gotten any kind of residual interest?
Residual. That's what I want is residuals.
Residuals.
My God.
Has anyone ever mentioned to you, because the show's been on Fox for a year. Do they go, oh, are you any relation to the cartoon on Fox?
They don't. In fact, that's probably why the show's going off the air, is not enough people are watching it in order to make these little illusions.
And but talking about residuals, you probably owe them for playing the theme.
Oh, yikes.
No, I don't know that the station does. The station does.
Right.
I never thought about that. You wrote a very interesting article about our ownership changing.
Oh, yes, a week ago.
Yeah. What has been the effect of that? Because I've had about a dozen people over the last couple of days say, if you haven't read Eric Zorn's article, and I had already.
You say, come on. I read his articles when they come out.
Every day, as soon as they come out. But what has there been any effect since you've written the article?
Effect?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've talked to a lot of your colleagues. You know, I run into them in the building here and on the podcast and so on. And there seems to be, just to catch people up on this, if everyone's not paying attention, that WGN, Tribune Media, has been bought by Sinclair Broadcasting, which is basically a television organization,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, they own a little bit of radio property, but not...
I think WGN will be like their fifth radio station.
Yeah.
And they own 232 TV stations. They're all about TV.
Yeah.
The radio stations they own are all out in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And the one talk station they have is a really right-wing station. It's kind of like WIND here. It just basically runs wall-to-wall. Some local people, but mostly syndicated, you know, Michael Medved and people like that, mm-hmm. and that kind of talk. And, of course, the fear is that they'll take that same approach to programming WGN AM. My thought is, just looking at, for what I wrote, is that this station does a lot better than the right-wing stations. It does a lot better than WLSAM, which is basically half conservative syndicated talk.
Yeah.
You look at the ratings here, they do better. So if you're just in this for the money, which most companies are in for the money, you would say this station has got a market niche.
It's performing.
It is performing. You guys are making money. It's like... And they're not. This is not like their live stream to own WGNAM. They wanted the television station for the most part, and I don't think they're going to make radical changes in the television station. I looked at what they did in Washington when they bought a major market TV station there, and there was a lot of fear. Like, what are they going to do here? And basically, what they did was they added a conservative commentator to their morning news block.
Mandatory thing they had to run.
Yeah, and they ran some, and they changed the focus of their news operation a little bit more toward government waste. Now, of course, that's in Washington, D.C. I don't look for them to, like, change the fundamental nature of WGN. I don't think they're going to, like, you know, fire Micah Mater or something like that.
No.
And bring in Ann Coulter. I mean, I don't think that kind of stuff is going to happen. I think that for the most part, those are going to be sort of minor changes. This is a politically driven, your new owners as of October or something like that are more... You know, looking at politics, they're more of a right wing station. But again, I don't anticipate that they would do that. On the other hand, because it isn't a big part of their operation, they might say, "Well, you know, hey, we'll just lose money and we'll
run what we want,
run propaganda on our station." So, you know, in talks with people like you guys, you know, basically, you know, people are like, "Well, what I say to them is what I said to myself and to all our colleagues back in 2008 when Sam Zell bought the Chicago Tribune." Sam Zell is a very conservative man, and people were saying, well, are you going to start changing your columns to try to appeal to Sam Zell? I said, you know, no, I'm not going to do that because, first of all, you know, I got my self-respect, but also that wouldn't work anyway. I mean, if he wants a conservative columnist, he's not going to, like, watch me trim my sails and go, that's the guy I want. It's like, I do what I do, and I do the best job I can.
Sure.
And if that's not what they want, then, you know, I'm not going to be in on the meetings where they're, you know, changing that kind of thing at the newspaper. And you guys aren't going to be in those meetings when they make the decisions about this radio station. You guys have to do, you know, the best job that you can do here and get the ratings that you can. And
hope for the best.
And hope for the best. You know, you do what you do and you do it well. And that's you know, that's the way to
do it. During Sam Zell's era, there was never was there ever any edict from him or anyone in management to slant things more to the right? I don't think that ever happened.
There never was that. Certainly there wasn't one that filtered down to my level.
Yeah,
and you know, as famous as I am as a father, the best father that ever was born. And
yes,
you know, I'm still at a level where you know I respond to supervisors and so on. Never once did they say, you know, maybe you want to go easy on. Never,
right?
Not once. And I haven't. And I talked to all the other columnists, and I never heard anybody say that. It's, you know, they wanted us to present a variety of views, you know, from
right.
You know, Steve Chapman, Clarence Page, me, John Cass, yeah. all these people. We have this range of views, and that's what they wanted. And Zell never, his people never meddled with us at that level. They were doing other stuff, sort of programming, moving things around,
sure.
but changing some managers around. But as far as, you know, I never heard, no one ever said, you know, crack down on that guy. And so that's kind of what I would expect from Sinclair, you know, but.
All speculation,
you know,
at this point.
It's all speculation at this point. And again, the other thing is, you know, what are you going to do about it, right? I mean, yeah. It's like at our level, you know, we're the sort of the frontline interface between the public and the institution.
Right.
And so, like I said, we just do what we do.
Sure.
And
until we're told
not to do it, until they come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, maybe you should go and, you know, sell auto insurance or something.
But, is it true that during Black Hawk broadcasts, they'll only air goals scored by right-wingers? Is that true?
that's true.
That's going to be crazy.
But, you know, they didn't change the line of a columnist. They didn't change the comic strips. They didn't change, you know,
yeah.
It's like basically, you know, as these people who get into this are out to make money. They've got shareholders to answer to in most cases. And that's what they're about. They're really not about deciding they're going to throw a lot of money into some sort of propaganda effort for the most part. I mean, it could be wrong, but I mean, what are you guys hearing around here? People are obviously talking about it, right?
A mixed bag. Would that be safe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of speculation because no one knows
right.
when there would be any changes of any kind.
And again, your choice is to do your job or is to like say, I'll go look somewhere else now. And this is what, you know, this is what we face in the newsroom. And a number of people did jump. They went to Bloomberg. They went to, they went into the private sector. They did, you know, PR, university PR. A lot of people left. They didn't want to take the chance. And that's certainly a
I'm here till they tell me to leave, which could be tomorrow or at the end of today's show. I'm not really sure.
We have 15 minutes until then, and then, you know.
So we're fine.
After your bonus hour.
Right.
They would never.
They won't tamper with the bonus hour.
What kind of bonus is that?
Yeah,
such a
deal.
All right.
So you guys are feeling pretty good.
Well, we hope so, but, you know,
there's no way to know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I wanted to talk about some stuff that Trump said recently. Can we do that right now?
Not right now, Eric. Can we wait just a couple short minutes? We'll do a quick commercial break, and then Eric Zorn has some things he wants to get off his chest. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Back to you, Mr. Sunshine.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Speaking of beautiful and energy efficient, Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, there are other things that we haven't even touched upon that you wanted to discuss.
It's so funny that you should use the expression energy efficient.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I wanted to talk about was, and this is, the New Yorker resurfaced this last week, and it has to do with Donald Trump's view of exercise.
Oh.
And this was, like I said, it was featured in a New Yorker article last week, and I hadn't seen this, and I don't know who had seen it, but the Washington Post did a 2016 biography of Trump. And it said that Trump gave up athletics after college because he believed the human body was like a battery with a finite amount of energy that exercise only depleted.
Hmm.
And when he learned that one of his top...
I like him more.
I know. When he learned that one of his top casino executives was training for an Ironman triathlon, he said, "You're going to die young because of this."
Oh. That's an interesting theory.
Well, what's, of course, it's my thing was, well, thank goodness, what a great excuse not to exercise. You know,
yeah.
You know, gosh, I'd love to go out and, you know, walk around the block with you, dear, but I only have a finite amount of energy left, and I want to spend it on, on other things. But of course, it's completely wrong. You know, this is a belief that dates back to, you know, the Victorian era with your, you know, bodily humors and so on. And science now knows that exercise actually, you know,
as
Vox put it in looking at this, they say it's exercise is actually the closest thing we have to a miracle cure.
Yeah.
That it is something that increases your energy and efficiency and your often your lifespan. So,
but he golfs quite often, and that's a form of exercise.
Yeah, you don't golf, though.
I do not.
And he takes a cart when he golfs.
Yeah.
Golfing in a cart is fairly mild exercise.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer to walk when I play.
Yeah.
I like the rhythm of the game when you walk.
Sure.
And the cart breaks up that rhythm. But it's just not. It's not. You have to walk around the greens, but it's not strong exercise. I mean, but the takeaway from this, for me, is that among all the other faults that I believe our president has, he's a crank.
A little bit.
He's a crank. Yeah. He believes in just weird, false stuff.
Right, right. Many of it outdated. Much of it outdated.
I mean, that is just nutty.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did a piece over the weekend. You know, last week the news was completely dominated by the firing of James Comey, mm-hmm. which seems to have just been an impulsive act by the president. He didn't bring in his communication team or his top staff until, you know, like an hour before he did it. They have a terribly confused message. They go out and they were like saying, oh, this was all about the memo from the assistant attorney general. This was not Donald Trump. Donald Trump was just listening to his people. And then Trump turns around, throws them all under the bus a couple of days later saying, yeah, it was all my idea. I was going to do it anyway. And it was all about, you know.
His true or false? Comey finds out he's been fired by watching it on television.
That is true.
That is true.
He saw it in the image. So but there was this interview with Trump that appeared in The Economist, London-based magazine. They had been given like half an hour with him. And the transcript of that came out on Thursday while the world is all going crazy over the whole Comey story.
Yeah.
This interview was just astounding in listening to how Trump talks and how he thinks or doesn't think and what he doesn't know. I devoted my entire column on Sunday to this. I just want to read just a couple of quotes
sure.
from him here. They asked him a question about whether his proposal to eliminate the estate tax was going to only benefit the highest earners, which, of course, it would, but they asked him this, and he said, I get more deductions. I mean, I can tell you this. I get more deductions. They have deductions for birds flying across America. They have deductions for everything. There are more deductions. Now you're going to get an interest deduction and a charitable deduction, but we're not going to have all this nonsense they have right now that complicates things and makes it. You know, when we put out that one page, I said we should really put out, you know, a big thing. And then I looked at the one page. Honestly, it's pretty well covered. Hard to believe. That's his answer.
Hmm.
Now, listen to this answer. They asked him, what does he think about the need for Democratic lawmakers to help support his tax plan?
Yeah.
Depending. It depends on which plan, you know, which concept we've got to. But it could be, I think the Democrats are going to like it. We may align it with infrastructure, which they like. They like it as much as Republicans like it. We need infrastructure in our country. This country has wasted $6 trillion in the Middle East. Wasted, like taking it and throwing it right out the window, right into the Rose Garden. See that beautiful Rose Garden?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like,
do you remember
like
when you were in sixth grade
hey, and there'd look, be a squirrel.
Yeah,
there'd be a test that you didn't study for, and the teacher would say, why was the signing of the Magna Carta important? And on your paper, you'd put the signing of the Magna Carta or any document throughout the beginning of time. And yes, I'm going back to dinosaur days. You stall.
Webster defines
right,
Magna.
Right. So, don't you get an element almost any time he's asked a question? It is the sixth grade answer to a question you didn't study for.
Yeah. I'm not going to read this whole answer, but they asked him then about the border adjustment tax of Mexico, where they're going to try to charge, you know, greater tariffs for goods coming into the country. And he immediately goes off into talking about Obamacare and health care,
yeah.
which hadn't been brought up for like 20 minutes in the interview. Healthcare was something he goes, I want to talk about Obamacare now. And he doesn't even get close to answering the question. And then there are places in the interview where he just gets things completely wrong. He says we're the highest tax nation in the world, which is not even close to true. You look at the 32 leading economies of the world, and we're like fourth or fifth from the bottom in terms of the overall tax burden on the individual. And then the part that I found the most troubling about this is he's talking about China. And he's just kind of rambling on. He's talking about President Xi Jinping. He goes, I think I like him a lot. I think he likes me a lot. He's a great guy.
Oh.
And then they're talking about, you know, during the campaign, Trump was always on the stump saying, I'm going to label China a currency manipulator on day one of my administration.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, since I've been talking about currency manipulation with respect to them and other countries, they stopped. Well, in fact, China stopped undervaluing the yuan back in 2014, because of internal things in their economy. They haven't been manipulating their currency in that way since then. And so this is something that has, you know, everybody who knows anything about international economics, which is not me usually, I have to say, but you know, I looked into this, I'll check the fact checkers on this. It's completely wrong, okay? He gets this wrong. But then Steve Mnuchin, who's the Treasury Secretary, you know, the guy from Goldman Sachs, the big brain in the
right.
room, who's there standing by him, instead of gently saying, well, Mr. President, actually, you know, or gently correcting him somehow, he jumps in and says, right, as soon as the president got elected, they went the other way.
Which isn't close
to
being true.
Well, the thing that's so scary about that is he's surrounding himself with these enablers, these toadies, these people who won't stand up to him and who won't tell him when he's wrong, who won't correct him. And this is a guy who's wrong a lot, who doesn't know a lot. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that's what was so scary about this interview is first he's rambling like this sort of – again, we've talked about this before. He sounds like kind of your uncle who's had a couple too many drinks at Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's got people around him who are supposed to, like, you know, keep him inside the guardrails. And instead they're, like, encouraging this. I mean, it's a delusion. It is a delusion on his part that China stopped being a currency manipulator the day that he was elected.
Because it's been 3 years.
And it's been 3 years. So the fact that he's not surrounding himself with people who know how to tell him no, and everybody who's in power needs people around him, you know, the wait a sec guy,
the
hang on boss guy.
Right.
You need somebody like that. And this is what I've been hearing a lot on the Sunday shows, a lot on these is people who are experienced in this, who remember the Nixon years, say that is really your problem. You need somebody who is going to tell you, you know, no, don't do this. And who are you going to listen to? And so
has Richard Nixon been mentioned more times in the past week than he had been in the last 10 years?
It's just been a great season. I love the tweet from the Richard Nixon Library. You know,
what'd they say?
They tweeted out, they said, you know, Nixon never fired an FBI director.
Oh, how about
it was
that?
Like, they're trolling Trump from the Nixon. I mean, when you got the Nixon right. Library,
then you know
calling
something's
your guy,
up.
Calling your guy.
That's Eric so. Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune.
He invented the phrase priming the pump. Eric
yeah, that's
Zorn
oh, well,
that, yeah.
Yeah,
I would like to take credit for that. Well, that was the headline out of that interview was that Trump seemed to think that he invented the phrase priming the pump.
Used it before.
He had used it
right,
before.
That's
that
what I
was
mean.
The weird thing. Was he
but he didn't invent it then.
I thought of it the other day, and you find references to it in speeches going back a couple months. So, yeah, it is. It was a deranged.
Can't they just show him documents or evidence that he didn't invent that? It's got
to
be public
Who's gonna
record.
Who's going to be the one to show it
no,
to
no,
him?
That's the problem.
That's the
he doesn't
problem.
Have people around showing him. I mean,
right.
the priming the pump as an economic term, it goes back to the 30s. So
forever. Anyway. Yeah. All right. That's Eric Zorn. Stick around. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Lefwine, Snyder on WGN.